Good evening. I trust you're all enjoying the global warming at the moment. We'll open the message with Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, and then we'll pray to our God to help us understand His word. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity that we have to be together, Lord, in your word, and to think about the things that you've prepared in heaven for us to understand. Father, we pray that you give us wisdom to know what you're saying to us, Lord, and that we can apply it in our lives and be obedient to your commandments, Father, that we have this example of Jesus Christ and that we would grow closer to him through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of tonight's message is Whom Jesus Forgave Most. We're going to study out and just consider the little exchange we just read between our Lord and the Pharisee, a Pharisee named Simon, who was perhaps more receptive to Christ than most of his peers. He did invite him around to his house to eat, but he's still clearly tainted by their characteristic self-righteousness nonetheless, which the Lord deals with here. We have one positive example set before us to emulate by this Simon the Pharisee, and that's when the Lord Jesus, God's living word, tells us, as he told Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. We, like this Simon, also ought to be ready to respond with, Master, say on. So the Lord could have kept this exchange, this incident, private, between Simon and himself, but instead he chose to include it to instruct all of us. It's obvious there was an issue with the Pharisee's heart, and the Lord could hear his thoughts after all. We just look at these verses in Luke 7, verse 39. It says, Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. So the Lord knew exactly what he was saying, it's recorded here. Just as he knows the secret minds of all men. What Simon is thinking here was not uncommon amongst the religious leaders during Jesus' earthly ministry. He disapproves of Jesus openly associating with known sinners. The Pharisees were always a very exclusive club. They always considered themselves separate from the rest of Jewish society, even though they were as much sinners as the next man or woman. They were just better at hiding it, really, with their fancy robes and phylacteries. I'm sure they looked very impressive, but not from God's point of view, not from the Spirit of the Lord. Now, our next scripture is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, speaking of the Lord's discerning ability. The scriptures I'm sure you've come across before. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Of course, it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Simon the Pharisee, by his thoughts, also betrays his unbelief. He's just looking for an excuse not to believe in Jesus as a prophet, let alone the Messiah. Now, as Christians, we should be ashamed to be seen to sin before others and hurt our testimony, but we should never be ashamed to be seen with sinners if there is a window to witness, to share the gospel with them. Can you imagine an evangelist with this kind of attitude, right, not associating with sinners? The gospel wouldn't leave the church. The Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's Luke chapter 5, verse 32. That's his response to such murmurings about who he associates with. In those verses, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He is, of course, being ironic as well, because the lawyers and Pharisees and scribes who he said this to should have known that the scriptures say, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if he came to call sinners to repentance, he means everybody, every single person. It's very easy for us, though, as we read about this Simon the Pharisee, to say, I would never do that, I would never judge someone that way. But who is it that God is speaking to through these verses? Why are they preserved in this book that we call the Bible? Right, for the last 2,000 or so years, the words were spoken to Simon, right, but he is long dead. He hasn't got any use for them anymore. And it's not like God just wants to keep going on about how badly Simon behaved on this occasion either, okay? It's because this is a message to everyone. We are all guilty of this holier-than-thou attitude at times. It dismisses the indiscriminate abundance of God's grace. It's been extended to everybody through Jesus Christ, if they'll simply turn to him. I hope this man got saved, this Pharisee, but at this time at least, I'm convinced he was in unbelief, and he was in unbelief without excuse. Come back with me to our opening verses in Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. Read with me verse 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most, and this is the Lord, and he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. The Lord points out that this man Simon can judge a matter correctly. He has got this capacity to judge things for what they are, which is a good sign, but that also means that he should have known better in regards to the actions of the woman who loved Jesus. He should have seen her actions for what they were, how she adored him enough to kiss his holy feet and worship him as Savior. So Simon's faulty judgment in this regard is without excuse. It can only be attributed to his desire to justify himself. And that is a very big mistake to make, loved ones. Verse 42, this is the parable the Lord is speaking, that it applies to everyone, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. So you must ask yourself, what is this Simon going to justify himself with? He has nothing to pay with. He is spiritually bankrupt, just like the rest of us without Christ. Now I'll read verses 44 to 48. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, for she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Jesus says to this woman that her sins are forgiven. He doesn't say yours, speaking to Simon the Pharisee. So her sins are forgiven, which is evidenced by her attitude towards her Savior, towards the Christ. Meanwhile, Simon demonstrated no love because he had nothing forgiven. He has not been born again. Read the next verse, verse 49. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? So this is including Simon. He obviously doesn't know who Jesus is, since he's asking who is this person who forgives sin just as God does. Now that question that he's asking could lead only to either saving faith or a stubborn refusal to acknowledge the Lord for who he has always said that he is, God Almighty, good and ready to forgive. That's a quote from Psalm 86, verse 5. That's our God, good and ready to forgive. Let's hope this Simon's self-righteousness didn't ultimately get the better of him and blind him to his need of a Savior, but rather that he came to see himself as Paul did in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. Contrast these two attitudes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We all personally know our own sins, the sins in our hearts. So let our love toward our loving and forgiving Christ be as though we were each one of us the chief of all sinners.